Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the love that You have for us. Father, I pray that in turn each one of us would be obedient children and follow Your example, Lord. That we would seek You daily. We would have that time alone with You to get to know You more intimately. Father, I pray now that there'd be just a special anointing here, that You'd open up every heart, every mind to receive what You have for us today. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message today is Time with God. And it's been a busy few weeks, and a lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow. And Friday, I was just really praying, God, what do you want me to preach? What do You want me to say? How? So as I began, I just wrote down this question: why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? Why do you come to church? Why do we come to church? What's the purpose of this and us gathering together? And it made me go to our website. Many of y'all don't even know we got a website. Probably, if you don't know we got a website, I can give you the link. On it, we have all the sermons from the last several years. I know since at least when COVID started. Maybe even before that, we've got some. We have a discussion spot. Tim handles that. Most of the time, there's not much interaction on it and everything. But on our website, it says that our vision is to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. And we get that from the scriptures, John 17:20-23. And so, really, that is what we want to see happening here. And that is one of the reasons why we should be here and part of this body of believers. It's to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. We got John 3:30. He must become greater, I must become less. We had that on shirts years ago printed. You guys gave me I can't remember if it was a plaque or something that you gave me one year for pastor appreciation with that verse on it. He must become greater and I must become less. And so I'm thinking about all this and why do we come to church? And our vision is to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. He must become greater. I must become less. Another reason why we come to church is Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. So we're to be here to be an encouragement to one another. It's not always about me. It's not always about Pete, talk to me, Pete, feed me, do what I like, but it's about us being here to encourage one another. And last week we talked about faith and not living by sight, but living by faith. And I was thinking, how does that apply to even right now and being here at church? And you might say, man, Pete, you bore me to death sometimes. It's all I can do to stay awake. My mind's going everywhere and I just get lost I'm counting the number of boards on the ceiling. Why am I even here? What's the point? But I got my check mark. I made it to church. You might be like, well, you know, the songs are not what I like. This isn't my style. I can't get into these songs. And we can have all these excuses of why to skip church, why not to be here. But you think if we live by faith, not by sight, that means that when you're here, and if you come here in faith going, God, speak to me, God, transform me, God, feed me, God, help me. And if you're good in your life, then you should be coming here saying, God, how can I contribute? God, how can I be an encouragement to someone? God, how can I help someone? How can I make a difference? You see what I'm saying? But it's important that we're all here, even when it doesn't feel like we want to be, even when it feels like you'd rather be someone else. It's so important that we gather together and that we see God begin to change us into His image, into His likeness, that He would increase, that we would decrease, that we could be encouragement to those people around us in this church, in this building. And when I was thinking about all this, I was kind of thinking like when you refuel your car, and you know sometimes you got to stop at the gas station and put some gas in your car. Some of you now you may have to stop and plug in your car and let it recharge, you know. But you need to be recharged, and that's what church should be, is a recharging station. And we can come together and we can glean from one another. And, you know, maybe you're not feeling, I remember this was several years ago. And, you know, when Randy was a preacher, he sat up on stage and he would play, he would sing. And sometimes he would just sit up here and look at everybody. I don't want to look at anybody. I want to have my back to everybody. I don't want to know what's going on behind me, because I don't want you guys to influence how I'm going to worship the Lord. And sometimes that happens, but sometimes it can be a good influence. And I remember years ago, just a story, and Ellie was little. She might have been a little bigger than Nolan was. And I don't remember who it was. Someone was in front of her raising their hands worshiping, and Ellie began to raise her hand worshiping, looking and seeing like, and she was copying what the people around her was doing. Y'all, sometimes we can encourage people and not even know it. We can be an encouragement to people, and they're looking at our life and they're looking at what we're doing, and we can be the fuel for their life to help them make it through the week. But then it doesn't stop just being here, but we take it with us. When you get fueled up here, you know, when you get fueled up, what do? You drive your car. You keep moving. What happens If you fill up a gas tank and you just let it sit? Ask Mike. You'll be taking your lawnmower to Mike or your chainsaw to Mike, and he'll be cleaning the carburetor and fixing it for you, because that old gas, it'll clog up a machine. And see, sometimes some of us, we get fueled up every week, but then we never take it and do anything with it. And you're getting to be old gas. You're getting to be, you know, you're not using what God's giving you. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you as on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So it seems like this verse comes up so often as I'm preaching. But do we truly understand that we are Christ's ambassadors? We are Christ's representatives, and we need to be here. We need to be getting fueled up. We need to be transforming into the image of Christ. And then as we go out, we are Christ's ambassadors. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, I had somebody in the last few weeks really thanking me for something. And I could honestly say, it's not me. It's God living in me. It's Jesus living in me. Because me would be doing what I'm doing. But it's God living in me. It's getting fueled up where you can be used, where you can be an ambassador, so you can display Christ's love to those around us, so that they can see the light in you. So I want to ask you guys this morning, how many of you feel like you're a bright light right now? You don't got to raise your hands. You don't got to answer. But I want you to really think about that. How many of you feel like in your workplaces, in your homes, in the community, that you are a bright light? So I won't ask how many feel that way, but I'm going to ask, so what's the problem? Because I know many of you are probably thinking, just like I think, I could use my light turned up a little bit at work. I could even use my light turned up a little bit at home and probably even here at church. So what's the problem? Is it the preaching? Is it not good enough? So you say, well, Pete, I'm just not getting charged by your preaching. Back to the songs. Is it the songs? Well, we don't have the right kind of music. I just can't get going, you know. I guarantee you if we, why is music such a, I thank God for you guys because I haven't heard complaints in a long time, but I guarantee you if I ask everybody in this church, fill out what's your favorite music, we would have a huge range from the old hymnals to the new modern. I mean, in everything in between, because we got different ages. I like it all. I'm going to be honest with you. I like it all except for rap. I don't like rap. I don't like Christian rap. I just don't. I'm not that big a fan of Christian rap. But pretty much everything else I listen to, and I like it all. But you could say, well, Pete, I'm not getting what I need because Mitzi's not having the right song selection. Because you're not preaching and it doesn't speak to me. We can think of, because the busyness of life, how many of you right now, you're thinking about all you have to do this afternoon and you're thinking, man, I hope Pete gets us out on time. Well, you're in trouble because my watch stopped working, so I don't know what time we're going to get out of here. But hey, you know, when we just think, I'm not picking on you. I promise not. 5 minutes ago in one of the songs, my mind went to Hayden's car got hit last night. It's just a little dent by one of his buddies. And I hate it, you know, because but my mind went to where do I got to take and get that estimate? And I went, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be singing to the Lord right now. Why did my mind do that? I love the song. It wasn't anything to do with the song. I love the music. I love the singing. But what happens? Your minds just drift and the busyness of life takes control and we get sidetracked. So I was thinking about all this. What's the problem? Why is my light not shining the way that it should? Why is your light not shining the way it should? And if you want to open up your Bibles back to Exodus 34. And I was thinking about Moses and just where we need to be in our relationship, and this is for every one of you, and it's for me also. Exodus 34, and we'll begin at verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. You hear that? His face was radiant. His face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the other Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the other leaders of the community came back to him and spoke to him. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near and he gave them all the commandments the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. The radiance of God was upon Moses when he was alone and spent time with God. Church, I feel like us being here is so important. It is. We read the word commanded us in Hebrews. Don't forsake meeting together. But you really want your life to change? You really want to see that glow in your life? You really want things to be different? You have to spend time alone with God. In His presence, seeking Him, praying, and spending time alone with God, it can mean so many different things. It might be For me, it's a lot of times in the afternoons when I'm on my route and I'm listening to a sermon or I'm listening to praise and worship music or sometimes it's just quiet and I'm just praying. I'm driving, but it's time that I get to spend with the Lord. There's other times that I just gotta open up my Bible and be alone and just seek God. But the problem isn't the preaching. The problem isn't the music. The problem isn't the programs. The problem begins with me. And with you. Are you spending time alone with God so that your light can shine, so that you're not hiding it under anything, that it's shining for all to see? There was a preacher, and I'm not 100% because it was a long time ago, but I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, but I'm not 100% on this story, so please don't quote me on it. But he was on a train car. Y'all remember this story? He did not preach. He was a preacher in the 1800s. He hadn't preached to anybody. He just got on a train car and said people began to weep and people began to cry. And said when he went to get off that train car, by the time he got off, everybody in the train car was on their knees crying and repenting. And they said, "Sir, who are you?" He hadn't spoke a word. The presence of God was so strong on his life. People were repenting around him. They were crying out because the radiance of God was so strong in him. I don't know about y'all, but I don't have that. Why don't I have it? Honestly, because I've not put in the time. I've not been alone. Moses, when he was alone, when he went up and seen God, the radiance of God shone through. And I think about that. And I think even Jesus did that. Jesus in Luke 5:16 said, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." We need that time with God. We need that time in God's presence to pray and to be alone. How different would work be? How different would church be? How different would home be if you spent that time with God starting today? How different would your life be? I mean, let's be honest. Do you lose your temper at work with your coworkers? Are they incompetent? Do you get mad at your boss for him telling you what to do? He's your boss. But yeah, sometimes we get mad at the boss for telling us what to do. Do you count ceiling tiles at church? Are you already planning what you're having for lunch and how quick Pete's going to get done? They didn't sing the song I wanted them to sing, so I'm just not going to sing. I mean, how different when your kids get on your nerves. Yes, kids get on your nerves sometimes. Are you a compassionate father or mother? Or grandparent, or you, well, I mean, how different would your life be if you were full of Jesus? If you withdrew Jesus in His moments, and I could keep going with the example of all that Jesus did, but so often He would withdraw. Why would He withdraw? Because He knew He needed time alone with His Father. He knew He needed time to pray. Ephesians 5:26 says, "To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word." I think of that verse a lot because I think of the times of filth in my mind, the filth that we see coming through, whether it's a radio or television or billboards or just a ball game, hearing the people next to us talk and the office of people in the next cubicle, the way that they talk, and the filthiness is coming through. And if we don't wash ourselves with the Word, we're going to be in trouble and we're going to fail. It's so important that we have that time alone, that we read God's Word, that we wash ourselves with that. And we wonder why we don't shine, why nobody wants what we have. John 7:38. I got too much stuff in my Bible. John 7:38 says, "Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture had says, streams of living water will flow from within him." Streams of living water will flow from within him. So we're to be a light We are Christ's ambassadors. He must become greater. We must become less. We look at the example Moses when he was with Jesus, when he was with God, the radiance of the Father shone through him. Jesus would often withdraw to pray. And it says streams of living water ought to be flowing through us. In 1 Peter 3:15 and through 16, it says, But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I wanted to read that because we read that we're to be a light, streams of living water flowing from us, that we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. And so let me ask you, when was the last time someone said, "Why are you so different? Why are you so full of joy? Why is there so much peace in your life?" Did anybody see my examples up here? So this is Ozark water. 100% natural spring water. This is Member's Mark purified water. This is a more expensive bottle of water than this. But does this look like something if you were dying of thirst that you'd grab up and drink? Or is this what you would grab up and drink? See, if I'm really, really thirsty and I come to a creek and it looks like this, I'm probably not going to drink out of it. But if I'm really, really thirsty and I come up to a creek and it looks like this, I'm probably going to stick my face down in that creek and try a sip of it. I wonder as we go to work, as we go to the home, we go to ball games, what are people seeing in your life? Are they seeing this? Kind of polluted by the world, kind of muddy. They say they're 100%. But believe it or not, someone's tampered with this water. Do y'all believe that? It didn't come off the shelf that way. But it says right here on the label it's 100%. You guys being here this morning, you say, "I'm 100%. I'm a child of God." But what's flowing out of us? That's got water. That's got Diet Dr. Pepper. That's got some coffee mixed in. Anybody want a drink? This one, it's still sealed up and hadn't been opened yet, but it's pure, according to the label. Y'all, I think many Christians, we have the label, but we don't have the purity. We don't have the radiance. What's flowing out of us is the explosion of anger, the explosion of jealousy, the explosion of lust. We're polluted. Someone's taken off the lid. The enemy has taken off the lid and he's dropping in a little bit of the world and a little bit of lust and a little bit of envy and a little bit of jealousy and then he may throw in a little bit of pride. And then when we're living in the world, we have nobody asking us. It says that they would ask you that you would have a reason for the hope that you have. And people say, "They're no different than me other than they got to get up on Sunday mornings and go to church. They don't act any different. They don't talk any different." We don't need another sermon. We don't need to change the music. We don't need another program. What we need is to take personal responsibility and get alone with God. That's the bottom line. When I'm struggling, I struggle. When everybody at work's getting on my nerves. When my family's irritating me. When I'm getting angry in traffic so quickly. And I look at myself and I say, who's the common denominator? It's me. I've got too much of me in myself still. And I need to get alone with God and pray about some stuff. Sometimes it's not a quick fix. Sometimes it was not too many weeks ago. It was days of me praying and saying, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I don't know why these emotions are welling up inside of me, but Lord, I don't like it. And you know what? It wasn't just to pray and it was better. It took days of praying and saying, Lord, help me, help me, help me. But I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. I need more light shining in my life. I need more of God's radiance. So today, is there streams of living water coming out of you? People asking you, why are you so different? And if they're asking you, are you telling them because of Jesus? Are you saying, well, I'm a good guy. I was raised in church. I had good parents. No, it's all because of Jesus. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive each and every one of us for our sins. Lord, that you would forgive each and every one of us for the times that we've chose the world and the ways of the world, and that we've become so polluted by the world that we are no longer streams of living water, that we are no longer light shining. Father, I pray that from this moment on, that each and every one of us would set aside time, make a commitment today, Lord, to have that time with you in prayer and in reading your word, allowing it to wash us clean. Lord, that each and every one of us would have a radiance about us, Lord, so that when we gathered together, we could encourage those around us. Maybe someone's had a bad week and they need to hear from us. They need a hug. They need a text. They need a phone call. That we would be so in tune with you, Father, that we would be able to do that. And then when we come together, that we would bring glory and honor to you, that we could lift our voices in praise to you, that we could encourage one another. But may each and every one of us understand that it begins with time with you. There's no shortcuts. May we make that commitment now, and that the radiance of being in your presence would shine at home, at work, at the grocery store, that everywhere we were in traffic, that your radiance may shine through. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, if you need some encouragement this morning, that's what we're here for. Come to these altars. It says, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Do we have any bosses in this room? If you're a boss, you know what? People's going to complain about you. I know we got a lot of school teachers. People's going to complain about you. You're not always going to do everything how everybody thinks you should. But how awesome would it be that you were such great bosses, that you were such great school teachers, that you, whatever you're in charge of, that you would do it with such a clear conscience, that those who are speaking against you, that everybody else, that it would be evident that you're just crazy. They're a good person. They're a good man. They're a good woman. And I was thinking about that because I had to confess to my wife this week how mad I was at myself. Because it's easy to find things wrong at work. One day a guy pulled up next to me and started complaining about something. I 100% agreed with him. And I started complaining right along with him. It's not letting my light shine. I was so mad at myself. As soon as I was doing it, it was like the Lord said, Pete, what are you doing? You're supposed to be a light. And you're complaining? You're acting just like those other guys? But hey, come to church with me. Why come to church with you? So you can gripe some more with me. People's watching, people's listening. We have to resist. And when you have time alone with the Lord and are strengthened, it's so much easier to resist. I pray you guys have an awesome week.